This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We bring you none of the hot take BS. We bring you bets. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
The wonderful Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley, and you here with us on the BetQL Network. If you missed the first hour of the show, shame on you. A lot of recap from last night, spinning it forward in the NBA and the NHL postseason. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Coming up in 20 minutes, Ken Barkley and I will roll through a lot of what's happening right now in betting markets with the NFL draft, specifically around Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. That's coming up in 20 minutes. 40 minutes from now, we'll get bets for the NBA postseason, and we'll talk about the unders trend in the NBA playoffs when we're joined by our friend Matt Moore from the Action Network and the Buckets podcast. That's coming up in 40 minutes. Next hour on the show, the final hour of the Power Hour, all our bets for tonight, Major League Baseball, the NBA playoffs, and the Stanley Cup playoffs. But joining us right now to kick off the fun and frivolity here in the second hour of the show is our good friend Anthony Amico from Establish the Run, one of the best out there when it comes to betting the NFL draft, grinding the stuff to like an unbelievable degree, and I mean that in the best possible way. You should be following Anthony on Twitter at AMICSTA. He could tell us, like, I don't know how to pronounce that. Anthony also has a great Substack, which is linked to in his Twitter profile, and he does awesome work for our friends at Establish the Run, establishtherun.com. Double A, welcome back to the show. Nick and Ken, happy draft week.
What's going on, fellas? Happy draft week. Happy draft day, Eve.
Oh, man. I was telling Anthony off there, I was like, he got the hoodie up. We're, like, in the lab. We're locked into everything. Like, this, it's just no sleep until 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
This is like Hoodie Mellow, like Hoodie Amico.
Yeah,
he's ready.
Hoodie
now.
Amico. It's a real phenomenon. We were talking, Anthony, I think even maybe the last time we had you on, and definitely all throughout the early part of this week, just this eerie consensus. Everyone says it's going to be the same thing. Everyone says it's going to be Caleb and Daniels and May and then Harrison and a trade for McCarthy at 5 and this, and just like, and you just play neighbors and then an offensive lineman for sure and then Dallas Turner and then like Brock Bowers at 10. Like, everybody had it all figured out. And we've started to see that get shaken just a little bit, not a lot yet, but just a little bit. Third overall pick, some other stuff. How far do you think we're going to get from that consensus come tomorrow night?
I mean, probably pretty far. Like, I feel like we do this every year where we think we know all the answers and then, you know, chaos happens. And it's really increased, I feel like, the last couple of years. I mean, last year's draft was, I think, somewhat unpredictable just because the players weren't very good. But, you know, the league is really tightening up on letting these picks out. And, you know, I think they're aware of the gambling aspect, and certainly they're aware of, you know, how easy these things spread. So, you know, I think that we're probably in for at least a few surprises in that top 10.
Let's talk about the first surprise that you see happening, Anthony. Now, I think we all agree, even if we do think things will get chaotic tomorrow night on Thursday night, round one, like Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick to the Chicago Bears. I think that's the one thing that we've all kind of set in stone. That is the one thing that's a lock. Like, I'll even feel comfortable using that word. I think that's a lock to happen, Caleb Williams to go first overall. Where do you think, my friend, where do you think the chaos starts coming up on Thursday night?
I mean, I think it could start right at the second pick. Like, you know, we have this Adam Peters from San Francisco, notoriously very, very tight on, you know, letting their information out. Bob Myers is advising. I mean, let me know the last time you're able to figure out who the Warriors were taking. Like, we have two, like, super covert pieces to this operation, and I'm supposed to believe that everyone knows that they're taking Jaden Daniels at two. Like, I'm not suggesting that he shouldn't be a favorite, but, you know, you'll notice that it's not, like, minus 10,000 like it is for Caleb. Like, this pick is not known. So as long as it stays unknown, I think that there's a chance that they, you know, do a 180 on us and go somewhere else other than Jaden Daniels.
I think the really funny thing is, like, from yesterday to today, the price even shortened a little bit. Like, he didn't get bet out more, and we're getting close. There's a ticking clock here. We're getting closer to the draft starting. You would think as we get closer and closer, we get more confident with the information that we have, and maybe eventually the pick is known, and yet his price is, however you, you know, staying the same or moving the opposite way. Like, that's pretty crazy. So you say, like, it could start at two because we're assuming Daniels is the pick. Am I to assume then that you have bet both May and McCarthy to be the second overall pick, or have you kind of planted your flag on one of those two quarterbacks?
I definitely have more to gain if it's McCarthy, just because the prices have been longer, but I'm in on both. I mean, I have, like, a very strong not Jaden two position, just because I don't know. Like, I'm just not buying that everyone knows who they're taking.
Yeah, so I have Anthony's, like, last mock draft up. And Anthony, you it's like, this is free on your Twitter account, is J.J. McCarthy going second overall to the Washington Commanders. So let's talk about the quarterbacks in general now, right? Whether it's McCarthy, whether it's Jaden Daniels, whether it's Drake May. I think, like, Washington's going to take a quarterback with the second overall pick. It won't be Caleb Williams. Caleb's is going to go first. What's your best guess right now as to how, like, the quarterback shakeout? It doesn't have to be, like which quarterback, like Jaden Daniels goes to Washington versus Minnesota trades up. But where do you think we see the quarterbacks go in terms of, like, draft position?
Yeah, I mean, certainly two and three. Commanders, like you said, I think we can kind of lock that in. The Patriots, I mean, they need a quarterback. Bob Kraft has made it really clear that they want a quarterback. I feel like when you're going to take a quarterback, you don't really mess around and move around. And if they did move, it would be for a team that wants a quarterback. So two and three, I think, for sure. And then, you know, I know people are talking a little bit about how there could be a McCarthy slip past five, but I just don't really know about that. I mean, the Cardinals and the Chargers both have made it very clear that they want to move. I mean, everyone's seen the Monty Ossenfurt video from last year where he's wheeling and dealing on the phones. And the Chargers, by all accounts, want to take an offensive lineman, which they don't have to do at five. So I think one of those two teams are going to trade out before this process is over.
I'm curious then, Anthony, in terms of making bets based off that projection, like, let's say they both trade or the quarterbacks go there, have you made bets on, like, the fourth overall pick or the fifth overall pick that are, you know, like, assuming the Chargers don't make the pick? Like, did you bet McCarthy to go in those spots? Did you bet a receiver to go in those spots? Maybe, like, five if the Chargers aren't there? Or what do they do if they're there? Like, how have you played those two markets? I think are available basically everywhere, and I've struggled with, like, I don't know what the hell to bet, like, neighbors fourth? Like, what do I even bet in these two markets? Because it feels like they're both, like you said, they're both for sale. How do you bet things like that?
Yeah, man, it sounds like J.C. Latham is super in the mix to be the fifth pick if the Chargers end up keeping it. And he's still decently long across the industry at that spot. So, I mean, it's come down a bunch over the last 24 hours, but I still think it's probably playable just because it sounds like it's probably him or Alt that they keep the pick. And the odds are way, way different. And then, I mean, from the quarterback perspective, I just think it's, you don't want to have too much, like, two, three, four, five, you know, you end up kind of, like, betting yourself into a corner. I think just playing McCarthy under 5.5 is a great way to play it because, I mean, he could go two or three, he could go four or five in a trade. You know, I feel like that is pretty reasonably priced still also, which is helpful.
You better, you better, here with Nick and Ken on a Wednesday, getting bets for the NFL draft with our pal Anthony Amico from Establish the Run on Twitter at AMICSTA. Anthony, what's your best guess as to how the wide receivers will shake out here? Because as we get closer to the draft, the drum beats louder that a lot of teams have Malik Nabers higher on their boards than Marvin Harrison. How do you think the wide receivers are going to shake out tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'm still kind of expecting this to be fairly chalky, like Harrison 1, Nabers 2, Adunze 3. Like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's been a lot of reports, again, over the last 24 hours that teams have Nabers ahead of Harrison. I just think it's a difficult pick to make. Like, if you take Harrison over Nabers, no one is questioning that. Like, that is just a dunk. I feel like you take Nabers, and Harrison is a Hall of Famer. Like, he's a stud, like people think, and Nabers has some issues, like, you're fired. So I just don't, I'm not positive that I buy that Nabers would go ahead of him. If you're gonna lean that way, I think you got to play it through the exactas or like the, you know, like first four receiver type markets, like stuff like that. I'm not playing this straight. Like, I'm not going to just bet like Nabers 6-1 to be the first receiver.
And I mean, to be fair, like all it takes, every team could have Nabers higher. All it takes is Arizona staying and they have Harrison higher and you're cooked. Like, already, like only one team has to have Harrison higher and the other 31 can all have whatever they want. So I agree with you. It kind of makes it tough to bet. I want to ask you, this kind of ties into the receiver question, because again, we're trying to just fill in slots here as we go down through the top 10. We've got a bunch of quarterbacks in. Maybe we have three receivers by the time we get to this team. If there's like a big assumption, Anthony, it seems like is being made without total confirmation or information, like later in the top 10, it's, oh, well, like Tennessee's just going to take an offensive lineman. Like, that's what's going to happen. And it can't be anything different than that. And they're going to keep the pick and they're going to take an offensive lineman. To me, that's like a good guess. Like, I would guess that they do that, but I don't feel like anybody actually knows the answer to that question. And it's later in the top 10. Have you played that market at all? For maybe that's first offensive lineman in a way. Maybe that's that exact pick. The Titans to me feels like everyone thinks something, but it's not based on anything.
Yeah, I think this is a really good spot to play a trade out. I mean, the receiver going 7 is not super long. Like, that is not a particularly attractive market to me. But if you think that they aren't going to take a receiver, it's a great spot to trade out. I mean, they don't have a third round pick because of the Levis trade. They don't have a third round pick next year because of the Legarius Sneed trade. So, like, there's really no reason for them to not move back if, you know, both of their favorite offensive linemen are there. They don't have to necessarily take that guy at 7. So if they trade back to 9 with Chicago, who have, you know, rumors to really like Rome Odunze, with the Jets at 10, same kind of deal, love Rome Odunze. You can get Joe Alt to go at either 9 or 10, still at a very good price. You know, 15-1 or longer, I think is an excellent bet.
When will Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix be drafted?
Friday.
And you say that with, like, how much conviction?
Like, yeah.
And why?
I mean, I just think it would go against 10-plus years of league
and,
trends.
Can you do this? And I just want to, like, I'm sorry to interrupt you. And I only know this because you and I talk offline, and I think you've tweeted some of this stuff out also. I think it's, like, really – it doesn't have to be right. I think it's really smart, though. And, like, just tell our listeners and viewers, like, why you think it's unlikely that those two will go on Thursday night in the first round.
Yeah, if you just look at historically the quarterbacks that go in round one, if there's a trade up, it's usually coming from either within round one or it's someone trading into the first round for like a younger player, like an early declare quarterback. We have not seen someone ever trade into the first round from the second round to take a 24-year-old guy, a 5-year guy, a 6-year guy. It just doesn't happen. So this Penix thing, which has gone nuts, like, I don't know, man. Like, if we're looking for this year's Will Levis, I feel like that's kind of it. Like, he wasn't even really necessarily that good last year. So the idea that he's going to be a top 15 pick, let alone a first round pick, like, I just think it's kind of bizarre. And, you know, when it was like even money, I think it was fine to pass. But now it's like plus 200 that he's not going to be in the first round. Like, that's almost insane to me.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was going to follow up and be like, so the 4.5 quarterbacks market too is just like, I look at both these things. I just go, and we had Eric Eager on earlier in the week and he made a great point about how the contracts are structured now. Like, this, it's just, it's something's, it's like not something's up. I think I agree with you. I think I really, really want to bet that it's just going to be four quarterbacks taken in the first round, just based on like the smart people we have on the show this week. It's not even anything that I know. Let me ask you this. We have a couple minutes left, so maybe we can do one more question even after this, but when we get past the first 10 picks, we start getting into a lot of markets that are still widely available. This could be team to position. This could be some of the draft position over-unders for, God, I mean, there's like 50 of them now in a bunch of places. A lot of receivers, a lot of linemen maybe going to be taken in this range, this 11 to 32. Maybe a bet or two that you're really confident in this 11 to 32 range as we fill out the rest of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, these picks, these go hand in hand, but I love Eagles' first pick to be an offensive lineman. And I love Marius Mims under 22.5, 21.5, whatever it is now. I prefer 22.5, obviously, because the Eagles picked 22nd. Jimmy Kemsky has like nailed the Eagles pick the last 3 years. And the year before that, when he missed it, he got the position right. And he says they're trading up and taking Marius Mims. So I have a strong inclination to trust him on that. And again, Eagles O-line plus money, like I just feel like that's a great bet.
Anthony, let's close with this. 30 seconds here. One other bet that you like for the NFL draft that we have not yet discussed.
J.C. Latham under 14.5 to good to whatever. I mean, he's been steamed so hard the last couple of days. It sounds like he's a top two lineman for both the Chargers and the Titans. And I think at that 14.5 number, you're getting also the Raiders. You're getting the Saints. So you're getting a lot of outs there.
1 to 10 scale. How nervous will you be tomorrow night when the NFL draft starts? 10 seconds for the answer.
Like a 3. We've done this before. We've just got to live it again.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Absolutely, that's a great answer.
Child's play. Yeah.
Our guy, Hoodie Amico, ready for the NFL draft. Anthony Amico from Establish the Run. Check out his Substack on his Twitter profile at AMICSTA, Amixta, I guess is whatever. Appreciate it, buddy. Stay well. Good luck with the bets tomorrow night. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. See you soon.
Anthony Amico joining us here on You Better, You Bet. A lot of interesting stuff there for the draft. You got J.J. McCarthy going second to the Commanders.
I think just the idea is, here's a bunch of ways the consensus isn't the consensus. Here's a bunch of smart ways the consensus isn't the consensus. Here's a second really informed smart person telling you Penix is not going in the first round. Like, stop it, basically. And that's going to be four quarterbacks.
I really agree with that train of thought on Penix and Bo Nix. Coming up next, Ken and I will talk more about betting the NFL draft. We'll talk about Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy and the betting movement with him today.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. On the BetQL Network.
First down, 10 to 45. Play action. J.J. McCarthy lobs it wide open. Caught at the 10. 5. Touchdown, Colston Loveland. 45 yards.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Gus Johnson, ha-ha, with the call on Fox Sports for this past college football season. J.J. McCarthy in Michigan winning the national championship. Probably going to hear J.J., no matter what you think, the person watching this, listening to this, no matter what you think about J.J. McCarthy, looks like he's going to go very, very early Thursday night in the NFL draft. Ken and I will talk about that in a second. Matt Moore will join us in 20 minutes, giving us bets for the NBA playoffs, all of our bets for the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball slate tonight. Coming up next hour, the final hour, the power hour of the show. We touched on this in the first hour, Ken, and we're seeing movement now at our show sponsor, BetMGM, also as it regards the second and third overall pick markets in the NFL draft. So just just to say this, like Caleb Williams is going to go first. He is a massive favorite and has been for a long time. So the draft really does start at number two. And just in the last little bit, Jaden Daniels, Ken, has been bet out a little bit more to be the second overall pick at BetMGM. Daniels now minus 600 to go second overall. Drake May is the second choice. May plus 450. J.J. McCarthy 11-1 to go second. And at BetMGM, and I'm guessing other domestic sports books as well, the third overall pick price is starting to shorten. Drake May now down to minus 300 at BetMGM. J.J. McCarthy plus 200 now to be the third overall pick. And we touched on this last hour that that McCarthy had gotten blasted, right? And I hope I'm using, like, that blasted is an appropriate word to use. That McCarthy had been bet to be the third overall pick in the draft, which I think kind of presents us with some interesting scenarios if, Ken, we want to operate under the theory that McCarthy might just be the third overall pick of the New England Patriots tomorrow night.
Yeah, look, you know, just start really bare bones. I don't know anything for sure, and I don't think you do either. We just have guesses and rumors and innuendo and DMs from people and all this kind
Scuttlebutt.
Of stuff.
Scuttlebutt.
So none of us have the goods yet, and I think Anthony did a good job detailing even this kind of a market for the second over. You might be like, wow, Daniel's a big favorite. Like, it must be done. Be like, it was done, man. You wouldn't be able to bet it. Like, it's just, if it was, and it doesn't mean that that, you know, like the Bob Myers conglomerate hasn't decided, just that it hasn't gotten out yet, I think would be the right way to put it. Because if it had gotten out already, I don't think this would be the price. So it's, he referred to it as kind of, it's an unknown still. And as long as, to paraphrase him, as long as it's an unknown, as long as this isn't minus 10,000 and we're getting real close, we're 26 hours, 27 hours away, I want to guess that it really is unknown. And okay, that means that it can be Jaden Daniels, and it can still also be other people. And the closer that we get to that, that's how Anthony is choosing to bet the second overall pick. And that's a strategy that we talked about at the start of the week. If you want to deviate from the consensus, what happens? And yeah, look, there was some movement on J.J. McCarthy to go third, and his under 5.5 got bet. And the way this stuff will work, and I think this is important too, because I think it can be really tough, right? Like if you're a casual bettor or you've only been betting for a little bit and you don't bet the draft, especially, you try to follow this stuff. It can be very confusing when people try to reference price points and where what they bet stuff at and how things have moved, because you might be looking at your particular sports book and being like, well, that didn't happen. I don't have that here. Or, you know, that price is different than what you're saying. And usually what ends up happening, especially now that like certain offshores open with, it's not a high, like, look, you can bet, you know, infinity dollars on the Super Bowl. If you can bet $500 or $1,000 in one place in one pop on the NFL draft, it's a great day. Like, it's, you know, it's just not the same thing. And it doesn't take much to move this. Like, I mean, you could pick a market right now, and I'm telling you, I could move it like 25, 30 cents. I could click a button right now. I could just do it. Like, I did it earlier today. This is not about me. It's just like, it's easy to do. It doesn't take a lot in order to make that happen. And so there was a lot of interest in McCarthy's under 5.5. Which got bet, I think, all the way up to about minus 240, minus 250 at a couple offshores. And in tandem with that, because it's betting the same information, maybe that he's a little more likely to go third, people were also betting the no on Daniels and May to go third, and then subsequently betting the yes on McCarthy a little bit in other places. So it's all rooted in the same thing, which is a trickle of information. I heard from a guy who heard from a guy who blank. And that's how almost all this stuff happens, like at this point. And that got bet. And usually what happens is, one of two things, people who got into that first. So think about it. If you bet J.J. McCarthy under 5.5 minus 120 or something like that, some really like a bet that has aged really well at a certain offshores price wise, part of the movement back on that is going to be you just being like, well, I could just bet the over now and I win. That's called arbing or arbitrage betting, which is you end up betting both sides. You just win no matter what happens. So you'd bet minus 120 and plus 180. And obviously those two prices overlap in a lot of ways. And so that's where the profit comes from. And look, it's not for a lot, but I think anytime you have these huge price swings on this stuff, some of the buyback is going to be that. And, you know, just like a crypto, whatever, right? Like you buy and you hold and you get a price spike, and sometimes you'll get the dip, and the dip is actually just people selling because they made a lot of money on the price spike, and then maybe it'll go back up again. This happens all the time in markets. So, that happened. McCarthy got out to a big price. It's come back down a little bit, at like sort of like the market making places, I guess I was how I would describe them for the draft, just that who takes the most, who lets you rebet. McCarthy under 5.5 about minus 210, minus 200 at those places. So that has moved. Him to be the third overall pick actually just got pulled in one place again, and this happens periodically because like a book just doesn't, they want to, you want to make sure, like, is it known? Are we dealing something that everybody actually knows the answer to? Let's just make sure that's true, and then we'll put it back up again. And that's been happening a lot today with that, the second and third overall pick. So interest in McCarthy, interest in his under. We can play out the scenarios now of like, well, if that happens, and it's no guarantee that it's going to happen, but if it does, what else happens when that happens? And who makes certain picks? I think that stuff's interesting too.
Nick and Ken here on You Better, You Bet Talk in the NFL Draft. So Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick. Just for this exercise, we will operate under the supposition that Jaden Daniels is the second overall pick. Big favorite to go to Washington. Not definite that it's going to happen, but I mean, how many people have we had come on the show? Herman Edwards, Ron Rivera, Brian Baldinger, Brian Kelly said it to the NFL Network that they expect Jaden Daniels to go to the Washington Commanders. Now, I will say, and we were talking about this off-air in the break just now, there is a lot of smoke, which leads me to believe that there is some fire that Daniels would prefer to not play in Washington, which I think has everything to do with geography and like nothing to do with the Commanders. That is my read on the situation. So I do believe that people that are saying it, I think it's true. But if you're Washington with like a new owner and a new GM and a new head coach, like you're not letting like Jaden Daniels dictate this to you. Like you're going to take Jaden Daniels second overall. So just want to say that like I do believe that that stuff is true. I also think Washington, if Washington wants Jaden Daniels, will take Jaden Daniels. So let's say Caleb goes one, Daniels goes two, and J.J. McCarthy goes three to the New England Patriots, where, remember, like, Nepo baby Jonathan Kraft is going to be involved in the decision-making. That has been widely reported by respected NFL insiders that it's not just like the new personnel staff in New England led by Ron Wolf's son, Elliot, making the call. Jonathan Kraft is going to be involved also, Robert Kraft's son. So J.J. McCarthy, let's say he's the third overall pick. Let's play this out, Ken. Arizona on the clock at four. Drake May available for the Giants or Vikings to go up. What's your best guess as to what would happen now at the fourth overall pick, and we can go to five and six in a minute?
Yeah, I mean, I think the little that we know about Arizona, because they haven't drafted for that long with this regime, but they enjoyed themselves a good trade, and now you would think the phone would be ringing loudly. But the phone doesn't ring loudly, I guess, if more people are calling, but you get the idea. They'd be fielding a lot of phone calls.
They pump up the volume, yeah. So they don't miss
it. Yeah, or there's like a secret red phone that the Vikings have to get in touch with them because they have the most to offer. It's like the red Viking phone. It's got like horns on the receiver.
It's called the Mike Tice phone. And they have the volume up at they have the volume up at 10 because they missed a pick when Mike Tice was the head coach. Right. So it's like an alarm as opposed to a phone.
Never again. Never again. They got that same sign up that they had in the Bears season two. What was it, like every second counts or something? They got
that same sign up
on the restaurant, right? So you know, just put yourself in Arizona's position. Like play this out. We'll get it. We'll do like play the role of the GM and act like how you think they've acted previously and how you think they'll act, not how you would act. They like trading. Now there's going to be a lot of interest in that pick to take Drake May before anybody else takes Drake May because he's probably a pretty desirable quarterback prospect. It's tough to just stay and pick a receiver when that's true, when you could gain so much by trading, right? So they could stay and pick a receiver. They could pick Marvin Harrison Jr. They could pick Malik Nabers. But you would increase, obviously, if you're doing like a pie chart, you would increase whatever the percentages of not keeping the pick based on McCarthy going third, because I think you would have multiple teams interested in Drake May, or you would at least keep it the same. Maybe there's as much interest in Drake May as there was in J.J. McCarthy. Maybe there's more. It's hard to believe there'd be less, I guess, would just be the way to put it. So they probably... My best guess would be like greater than 50% they trade it. If they stuck, they pick a receiver. I think everybody kind of thinks that's where that's going if they stay, but we don't know if they're going to stay. And this is part of what makes this so fun, by the way. Like if, and I'll only do this once, like it's easy to be like, well, I like this pick and this price or whatever, and it's pick four or five, six, seven. Like the Cardinals don't even know who's going third. So like the idea that we know what they're doing at four when no one knows what's happening at three, like there's a domino effect to all of it. Right. Or two, to be fair, totally agree. Like that's part of which is like, there's no certainty in this stuff, guys. Like even if you hear that a team loves a player, that team may be blown away by who is actually available when they pick. And it's not somebody that you expect. The Bears at nine would be a really good example of that, where it's like, well, it could be they take this defensive player or like Roma Dunze somehow gets to them. And like, what are we going to do then? Or they could trade up a spot or two spots and get them. Well, we didn't think we could do that. So even though the info that we leaked is reputable, the circumstances have changed. That's going to happen all the time. On the one hand, it's what makes talking about this fun. On the other hand, I think it's what makes betting it very, very difficult.
Indeed, which is why I just like try to get some big prices on some stuff. And maybe that's what we can
small
do here,
bets,
right?
Big prices, like uncertainty on stuff where there's no confirmation yet. I think Anthony had it right, honestly. Maybe that's one of the reasons he's not worried at all. Is like, look, I'm swinging for the fences on a bunch of this stuff, and it's small amounts to win big amounts. And if I hit a couple, it's a great night, and I win, and I don't have to hit everything.
My sense, if it plays out like this, and you know, Fox Sports NFL insider Jay Glazer, and my apologies for not offering the proper attribution. I don't have it up on my Twitter timeline right now, and we're doing a live show. But Jay Glazer was on a radio station in Los Angeles this afternoon and said that he doesn't think that it's going to go QB, 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 QB in the NFL draft. Jay Glazer is basically never wrong. He doesn't report with the same frequency as like Rappaport or Schefter, but Glazer's basically never wrong. I'm not saying that he's definitely right about this, just that's probably a pretty informed take. This is something I would consider. If Glazer says something, I think like it's probably more likely to happen than if someone else says it. Just being candid about that. Now, with that being said, if we get through picks 1 through 3, and it's Caleb Daniels and J.J. McCarthy, we know Minnesota wants a quarterback, and I have heard enough from people I respect that the Giants are interested in Drake May also. So you'd have Minnesota and the Giants potentially interested. Ken talking about the Cardinals liking to trade down. I think those are your two most likely like trade partners, the Giants and the Vikings. Now, if we're going to play this out, and Ken's telling you, and I think he's right, if Arizona stands pat at 4, take the receiver of their choice, right? Maybe it's Harrison, maybe it's Neighbors, probably not Adunze, but whatever. So if you're Arizona and you want to make sure you can get one of those guys, look, like maybe you trade back to 11 with Minnesota and then swing some sort of complicated like trade back up to take
Slingshot.
A receiver. But wouldn't it make more sense if like the offers are similar just to trade with the Giants, just to move back to 6, like you guarantee yourself like one of like the two receivers that you like. Like, you get, like, Neighbors or Harrison, and by all accounts, the Cardinals love both of them. So I think my best guess would be Drake May with the 4th pick, and we do see the 4 quarterbacks go, Ken, 1 through 4. So if I'm building an exacta right now, assuming McCarthy goes 3, I got Drake May going 4th overall to a non-Arizona team.
Right, I think the idea is, like, if you want to play the exactas and you want to play the McCarthy 3 exactas, like, let's say you see the price moving and you go, well, how else could I play this? And I had someone reach out, I think in the first hour of the show, saying, hey, I know you mentioned McCarthy's under has moved. Well, at one other sports book, it's still minus 125, minus 130. This is what I'm talking about, where like it'll start at these like kind of offshore sports books that allow rebets that take a little bit more money, and that'll get to the domestics, but it won't get there immediately, and it won't get to all of the domestics immediately. So a lot of this can be, like if you're so inclined and you want to bet this way, can just be kind of like price grabbing. Now, sportsbooks probably aren't going to really like it when you do that, and there might be repercussions to doing that, but like if you want to bet like the stale draft stuff that doesn't move, I mean, there's like at the start of the show, McCarthy's minus 240 at the offshore, and he's minus 125 at a domestic. Like, easy to see how there's a good bet there, or you can bet both sides because it's information driven and you don't really know what's going on. So just like want to throw that out there too. I agree with you though, in the McCarthy exactas where he goes 3rd, like who do you want to have 4th? May is a really appealing answer to that, as opposed to a receiver, with the idea being there would just be so much appetite to not get scooped for the 4th quarterback. And it is Drake May too, like a guy who is really highly regarded coming into the draft. Like a McCarthy slip seems a little more likely than a May slip, even based on what some smart, this isn't me, like Eric Eager comes on and says the same thing.
And just to play this out, if you wanted just at a big price, again, if we're assuming McCarthy's going to be the 3rd pick, play it out where Arizona stands pat and takes a receiver, you'd want to do Neighbors ahead of Harrison, right? Just to get the bigger price. Neighbors would be the receiver there.
Yeah, just like it can be Harrison, but no one, there's enough uncertainty and no one seems to know. Neighbors for a couple bucks. And like, imagine, I mean, if McCarthy goes 3rd, your wait for the 4th overall pick, I mean, that's one of the great 10 minutes of your life, your week, your month, you know, like waiting to see if that comes in. I know that, I think that exacta, because I think I bet it this morning, when I bet it was like a 200 to 1 or 175 to 1, something like that, something outrageous, just for a couple bucks. Again, just like play the stuff no one knows yet. Like just, I think Daniels too, like I'm kind of in between on that. I think I'm more onto the 3rd pick.
We'll get to a little more NFL drafts coming up next hour on the show. But on the other side, we turn our attention to betting the NBA playoffs. The great Matt Moore from the Action Network joins Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, and you.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. On the Bet... Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Final segment for us today on Stadium. You want to check out the final hour of the Power Hour? You're watching us on Stadium right now. Head on over to Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, Odyssey app, youtube.com/Odyssey Sports, radio stations nationwide, including Sirius and XM. Next hour on the show, we will give you all our bets for tonight in the NBA. We'll give you all our bets for tonight in the National Hockey League. We'll give you some bets as well for Major League Baseball, where I will ask Ken and Jake, should I bet the Chicago White Sox tonight? We'll do that next hour on the show.
Yes.
Very much.
Who would ever say yes to that?
Very much looking forward to it. But joining us right now on the show is our good friend, the great Matt Moore from the Action Network, one of the absolute best in the business when it comes to breaking down betting on the National Basketball Association. You can check out all of Matt's writing over at the Action Network, his bets on the Action Network app, the Buckets podcast, a daily NBA betting podcast, which I've checked out a couple times, and like, they do a great job, by the way, posting video clips from the podcast. Like, really good job. It's really good stuff. And Matt can also be seen on NBA BetStream and followed on Twitter. Like, if you like hoops and you don't follow Matt, like, you're a clown. Sorry, at HP Basketball. Matt, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken. How's it going?
Going well, man. Loving this first round. It's really exciting. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. It's going to be interesting seeing how this rest of this shakes out. This is always the interesting point where you start hitting these game twos, game threes, trying to figure out, is there an inflection point coming? Have things turned? What's the next matchup? How does that provide value? So excited to be on with you guys to break it down.
Nick always jokes, like, from the betting perspective, we'll break this down, but like, from the betting perspective, so this can be a series that's 2-0, maybe, where the games haven't been close, but from the betting perspective, what's been the most interesting series so far?
The most interesting for me is definitely Wolves Suns, and the reason is because it presents a lot of opportunity, I think, for Wolves futures, from the perspective of, like, you know, look, there's a tactical problem that the Suns are facing, which is they don't have a small ball unit. So if you can't beat them in their two big lineup, the counter is, all right, let's go small, space Gobert out, and then we'll attack downhill at them. Can't do that if you don't have a center that's capable of doing that. And the KD lineups, the Wolves have been like, cool, Karl Anthony Towns is going to destroy you in the post. How about that? So trying to figure out where the next, you know, matchup switch is going to come from. How are they going to adjust? Is it just going to be Suns jump shots go burr in games 3 and 4? If they don't do that, is this a short series? I bet this under 5.5 games because I thought it was either going to be Chris Finch makes the adjustments and this thing goes way Wolves, or he doesn't and it goes way Suns and it's going way Wolves right now. Maybe that counterbalances, but I feel pretty good on that bet. I think that it's a really great, it's got ramifications for the Suns' futures. If the Wolves get out of this series quickly, it presents an opportunity for them to really have a leg up for really trying to challenge Denver in the next round. It's a fascinating series from both future and present perspectives, I think, as well as looking game to game, trying to get an estimation of whether or not the Wolves' defense is going to carry on the road.
Give me 10 seconds on this, and then I'm going to ask you about another series. Game 3 is Friday night in the Suns-Wolves series. Phoenix, and Minnesota's gotten bet already. This was like 4.5, and now it's Phoenix 3.5, 206.5 the total. Do you have a thought on how Game 3 will play out? Are you going to bet Game 3 with the Suns and Wolves, and then we'll do something else?
Yeah, I'm probably going to bet Wolves money line. I just think I'm going to bet Wolves money line here. I think that they really have them on the ropes, and I don't know that this team has what it takes to get back. If you listen to some of the podcasts or local coverage, Gerald Bourquette, that does great work over at PHNX, was talking about like how the Suns in the locker room were basically disagreeing with their head coach. That's a concern. So I think there's an opportunity here for the Wolves to really put the foot down, and I'm probably going to bet it that way.
What do you make of Clippers-Mavs moving forward following Dallas's win last night in Game 2, evening up at 1, heading back to the D?
I'm going to like the Clippers, I think, in one of the spots. Probably not Game 3. Probably Game 4 is a spot. I think I'm going to get in on the Clippers. I think that they played fine. They played great in Game 1, and they actually played better than expected in Game 2 in terms of like the matchup stuff. They won all of the categories except the one that actually matters, which is, did you make more shots than the other team? They did not make more shots than the other team, so they lost that game. It wasn't like, Luka saves the day, or like any of these other narratives. It was just like the Clippers missed a ton of shots, and they won all the other categories. The problem is, I don't know if Ty Lue has a counter for Maxi Kleba in these lineups. Like, those lineups are killing right now because the Clippers, ironically, don't have a small ball because they traded Nick Batum. Like, if they had Nick Batum in this series, I'd be hammering Clippers right now because that's the perfect counter to this. They don't really have one. So that makes me nervous. I think Dallas probably rides the momentum and wins big game three. I'm going to come back in on Clippers game four. What I actually really like the best in this series is Clippers win 4-3 at your sponsor is plus 375. I like that quite a bit. Home teams win game seven. I know it's Luka. Home teams win game seven. These teams are evenly matched. I think we're probably headed to seven games. I like that bet quite a bit right now.
All right, so Clippers in seven at BetMGM at a good price. What are we supposed to do, Matt, with Bucks-Pacers? This is another series that'll resume in a couple days, so a little bit of time if you have a strong betting opinion. The Bucks win game one, and Lillard plays great early and does nothing, and they win. And then, like, a complete opposite game two. Siakam's great in both games, but, like, the scoring's all over the place. Lillard in the second halves. Halliburton doesn't shoot. It's been a weird couple games. Anything that you've taken away from that we can kind of help when we bet game three?
Yeah, so I was on Pacers to win the series outright. I was on Pacers -1.5 on the series spread line. I'm good with that position and don't feel the need to add or hedge or anything here. If you think that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to come back and that's going to turn everything, which is a totally fine opinion to have, like that is a completely understandable position, then you can bet the Bucks here probably a diminished price and get a good opportunity. He'll play at some point in this series. It's not going to be game three, but he'll play at some point in this series. My problem is I don't really care if he plays. This is not about disrespecting Giannis. It's I hate the matchup. They did the same thing to Dame in both games, and everyone's like, oh, it's Dame time again. And here's the problem is that Rick Carlisle, why do you think Rick Carlisle's not doubling? Like, there was all this, how are you just letting Dame cook you? Why do you think Rick Carlisle would do that? And the answer is because he knows that Dame will wear himself out while freezing out his teammates, and then the second half he's going to wear out and not have the energy to defend, and you can get downhill on him. And that's exactly what happened. Carlisle's playing chess right now versus Doc Rivers playing checkers, and that's a problem. Giannis is not going to fix that. I like Indiana's ability to get out and transition. They're going to make more shots. That game one, I went back and watched. It was just game one for a bunch of guys who had never been in the playoffs and were like, oh, like you can't do the regular season stuff here, can you? And once they stopped doing that and they're like, let's just pick at the scabs, they got a lot better in game two. I like Indy here. I think they're going to win this series. I think they're going to advance to the next round, but I don't feel the need to get on it right now. If you're going to bet it right now, I do think there's value on Indiana in game three.
Just my opinion. The Charlotte Hornets should hire Matt Moore instead of J.J. Redick to be their next head coach. Just my thought. Matt joins us here. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, You Better You Bet. Matt on Twitter at HB Basketball, talking the NBA. Matt, we have to go, unfortunately, just because there's so much to talk about. I know we want to talk about unders in the playoffs with you. Let's go a little lightning roundish here, and I'll pair the two, like the doubleheader from the other night. That was absolutely magnificent. These games won't be until tomorrow, the respective game threes. Knicks up 2-0 on the Sixers. Series shifts back to Philly. Nuggets up 2-0 on the Lakers. Series goes to Los Angeles. Like, any reason to believe the Lakers or the Sixers can come back? Any bets for those two game threes moving on in the series here in about a minute so we save time for everything else, please?
Yeah, I'm on both the series dogs in these games. I'm on Sixers -4.5 and Lakers on the money line at a slight minus number. One, the Lakers are going to get an obscene whistle in this game. Like, they're just going to get an obscene whistle. And eventually, like, I have no choice here. They keep going up by double digits. I can't stop betting a team that keeps going up by double digits versus the other team, even if they keep losing. I guess I could stop, but I won't stop. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and embrace the pain and bet the Lakers again. The Sixers outplayed the Knicks in the first two games. Sorry, Nick, but they did. Like, they outplayed the Knicks in the first two games.
I'm up 2-0. I don't care.
They got they got Miles McBrided in game one, and whatever happened at the end of that game in game two. And I just keep thinking, if this was a 2-3 matchup in the second round and this was games three and four in New York, would you expect them to win both of those? Yes. How would you feel if they won both of those in the way that they did them? Bad for the Knicks. So I still like Sixers in the series, but I'm terrified because I do think they won two coin flip games. I'm going to take this game by game, Sixers -4.5 in game three. And I'm on the Lakers for some reason in game three as well.
Matt, the two totals tonight, notable because they've both been getting bet under Celtics Heat and Pelicans Thunder, both getting bet under the opener, both much lower than the totals that we saw in game one. And this has been obviously a theme through last year's first round, but especially like recently in the NBA, it's officiated much looser. You can get away with a lot of stuff. The pace is down. The totals are dropping. Any reason to believe that there's still meat on the bone here to bet unders, to bet low scores based on the scores we've seen so far?
I think Thunder Pelicans, yes. I think Celtics Heat, no. And the reason is whenever you got these teams that are up by a lot, right, the Spoelstra is going to make adjustments in game two, but he's probably going to make them on the offensive end to try and generate some offense. They know that's a problem. So one of the things that you've seen is these trends of big favorites on when game two, after they win game one, they actually, these top two seeds, there tends to be overplays in those games after they win and cover in game one. The reasoning, if you want some logic on that based on the trend, is yet the home team's going to keep scoring. They've got the advantage, and the opponent starts making adjustments towards the back half of the game, and they actually wind up going over their team total more than the home team does. They don't cover necessarily. They just wind up scoring more consistently. So I do think that there's probably a little bit of value on Heat team total over, but I'm probably not going to bet it just because yikes with that Heat roster. And then I think in the Thunder game, though, that one I think is likely to be a grind because I just think that both of these teams match up very well. It's all great wing defenders that shoot a bunch of threes versus all great wing defenders that shoot a bunch of threes. Going to be more of that. And even though that's a lot of three-point efficiency, the market, I think, has priced it correctly. I do think there's probably some value, and especially in the first half under in Thunder Pelicans.
Big time lightning round to close here, Matt. Any side bets for tonight? Celtics 14.5 against the Heat, Thunder 7.5 against the Pelly Pels.
Yeah, the only thing I'm probably looking at here is some Larry Nance props. He did very well in those minutes. I think he's going to play more in this one. So probably rebounds, assists over for Larry Nance is going to be the other side that I'll take there. I am on the Celtics minus 14.5 because the history says these teams smash in this spot, and I don't think the Celtics will let up off the gas. They know what this team will do, so I'll go ahead and bet Celtics minus 14.5 and a little bit on Nance rebounds and assists over tonight as well.
And wouldn't want to disrespect this epic Cavs Magic series. Cleveland up 2-0. Magic a 1.5-point favorite tomorrow night in game three at home. 199.5 the total. Maybe it's like 10 points too high. Any thoughts on Cavs Magic? 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, I mean, the under's been bled out of that game by the Sharps. Like, they just absolutely nailed that under, and now they're coming back in on the over. I don't think you want to ride that roller coaster. I do think there's probably a good chance that the Magic go under their team total just based off of where they're at. I do think I'm probably going to bet the Cavs for a little bit just based off of the fact that I don't think this is a tactical thing. It's not like Wolves Suns where it's like, can you get to these lineups? It's just the Magic don't have counters. They just don't have the personnel, and the Cavaliers know that. So they can just play at a standard playoff level on the road and still get this win. Cavs team total under might be a pretty good play here, though, if all of their little role player guys start missing like guys do on the road. That's probably a look, too, but I'll probably be on Cavs to cover the spread with a team total under on them as well.
One-word answer. Who wins the series, Knicks or Sixers?
Well, I'll go Knicks because I got the two coin flips.
We love you, buddy. At HP Basketball on Twitter, the Action Network Buckets Podcast, and NBA Bet Stream. The great Matt Moore with us here on You Better You Bet. If you want to check out the final hour and you're watching the show on Stadium, twitch.tv/BetQL. We will start the hour with all our bets coming up for tonight.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.